Play Scheme Story, Day 1. Sarah meets the doctor. It was Sarah's first day at Play Scheme, and she was really excited about it, and kind of a bit nervous too. Sarah had been along to Play Scheme before, it wasn't her first time ever, but when she'd been before, she was a child and she was taking part in activities and stuff. But this year was her first year as a team leader. She was really looking forward to it. She'd been along to the training, and she'd visited everybody and knew all the things she was supposed to do. But also she was feeling a little bit nervous. What if she wasn't any good? What if she forgot the things she was supposed to do? Or got lost, or a child got lost, or there was an injury or something? Sarah took a deep breath and tried again to stay calm and to remember everything that she'd been told. The field was busy that morning on Monday. It always is on a Monday. People to-ing and fro-ing, busy sorting this out and that out and something else.
I can't find my clipboards. Where are the hoops? I've lost my pants.
All sorts of hectic business going on everywhere. And then the children started to arrive, and Sarah could see them coming across the field towards the registration tables, getting their stickers and their hats, finding out which team they were in. It was all very exciting. Sarah noticed that one of the children looked a little bit lost and separate from the others. He was a small boy, kind of pulling on his T-shirt nervously, and he wasn't walking in with anybody. Somebody ought to go and help him, thought Sarah, and then she suddenly realised that somebody was her. She walked across the field and stopped in front of the small boy. "Hello, I'm Sarah," she said, in a bit of a rush and a bit of a nervousness. The boy blinked and stared up at her. That was a rubbish way to start, thought Sarah. She got down on one knee instead so that she could look at him properly and he could see her too. "Sorry, my name's Sarah," said Sarah. The boy stared at her. "And your sticker says that your name is Billy, is that right?" He nodded, his wide saucer eyes staring at her. "Yes, Billy, okay. Well, my name's Sarah, I think I told you that. But I wondered if you'd like to come into the big tent with me." Billy stood there, unsure. He didn't nod, but he didn't shake his head either. "Oh, no," thought Sarah, "I'm really bad at this. They're supposed to be all happy all the time. And then she had an idea. "Do you know what my play scheme name is? I haven't got my sticker yet, but we all have to have funny, silly names when we're at play scheme. And do you know what my name is?" The boy looked at her kind of quizzically. "Flangy pants," announced Sarah. "Hee," said the little boy. "Yeah, I know, it's really silly, isn't it?" said Sarah, grinning. "We all have silly names. Jane, over there, she does the admin tent, and her name is Marshmallowhead, and I don't know why that is either." "Hee," said the boy again, obviously thinking that being called after a large sweet was very funny. "Listen, you can come into the tent with me," said Sarah, "and we'll see if we can find you a friend or somebody that you might know from your school or where you live." The boy nodded and managed a small smile. Sarah took his hand and they crossed the field together. The children's tent was getting quite full now. There were lots of people coming in and out. There were two leaders up on the stage doing very silly things, and one of them had the biggest beard anyone had ever seen. "Gosh," said Sarah after a moment, "do you know, I wonder if there might actually be a squirrel hiding in there." Billy grinned. "Maybe you could go and ask him," she said. Billy looked shocked. Those big saucer eyes were back again. "Or maybe," said Sarah hurriedly, "you could... I know, wait there, I've got an idea." She left Billy at the entrance to the tent, rushed off to the craft area, and found two small cardboard tubes. She tied them round with sellotape and brought them back. "Binoculars," she announced proudly. Billy grinned. "Now you can look out for squirrels from the safety of the children's mat and you don't have to go right up and find out." Billy thought this was a very good idea. He put the cardboard tubes up to his eyes and grinned. "Binoculars. Squirrels," he said. "Yep," said Sarah. Billy took his binoculars and went to find somewhere to sit down. And Sarah walked out of the tent to see if there was anyone else who might need some help. "I did it," she thought to herself. "I did it. Oh, I will be a good team leader. I will. I'll try really hard." Just then, she saw something rather odd on the far side of the field. it was a disabled loo. Except there were none of the other portaloos there. They always have portaloos on the field because they're outside. But there was only one, and there was a man standing in front of it, banging it hard with something. "Someone ought to go and talk to him and find out if he's meant to be there," said Sarah. And then she suddenly realised that someone was her. "Oh, okay, I can do this, I can do this," thought Sarah, and she marched across the field. As she approached the man, she could see more of his clothing. It did look very strange. He wore a long sort of coat, woven together a bit like a sort of a tapestry with gold and red thread, and down the front of it and round the edges were lots of lacy frills. Sarah took a deep breath and said in her most grown-up and sensible voice, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" The man turned and frowned at her. "I mean, excuse me, who are you and what are you doing here?" The man held up the item in his hand. It was a spatula or something like a spatula. He stared at her through the gaps in the prongs. "Human," he said, and turned away and started banging the spatula on the side of the toilet. "Hang on a minute," said Sarah. "I asked you a question. Who are you?" The man turned around again. Now, human, I am far too busy. Really, you ought to be going off to do something else far more constructive. Go on, off you go, shoo-shoo." "You can't tell me to shoo-shoo. You have to have a badge, and if you don't have a badge, you're not allowed on the field." "A what?" said the man. "A badge. You have to have a badge," said Sarah, "or you're not allowed on the field." "Oh, you want identification, do you? I see. Very well. I know. I've got just the thing." The man reached into his pocket inside his jacket and pulled out a card with a flourish. "There, read that. What does that tell you?" Sarah took it from him and stared at it for a moment. "It's your library card." "What? What? No, no, no. Don't be foolish." He snatched it back and breathed on it heavily, rubbing it on his sleeve, and then handed it back again. "There, what does it say now?" "It still says library card, and it says that you owe 7 million books. You have 7 million books overdue." "How is that even possible?" The man took the card back and frowned at it. "Oh dear. Yes, I have been away quite a while. I probably got quite a large fine as well. Ah. Now look," said Sarah, "if you don't have a badge, you're not allowed on the field. And you need to... I really need to fix my machine and disappear. And then you won't have to worry about a card or a badge or any other sort of thing. Really, you're interrupting me, making me take time. Now just a second. You can't just dismiss me like that. There are rules, you know. And there are... things, and I have to go and talk to Marshmallowhead about it." "Marshmallowhead? Do you often talk to sweets and confectionery?" "What? No, it's Jane. I have to go and talk to Jane." "But you just said you were going to talk to a marshmallow." "No, it's her play scheme name. My play scheme name is Flangypants. Her play scheme name is Marshmallowhead." "Really? Oh dear, you humans do confuse me at times." And he turned away again and started fiddling around with the spatula. "Now look here," said Sarah. And then she noticed something else. Out of the corner of her eye, something odd was happening. Something was moving. "Those are shadows," said Sarah. "Really? We're going to get excited about shadows and sweets, aren't we?" No, over there. There are shadows. And they're moving. "Yes, well, here we go. Science 101. The sun shines in the sky, large objects get in the way, shadows are created. You have a shadow of your own, I have a shadow of mine. Everyone has a shadow, it's all very exciting," said the man dismissively. No, but nothing is casting those shadows. There's nothing there to make those shadows, and they're moving." The man spun around. "Where?" She pointed across the field. It was in between where they were and the kids' tent. The man held up his spatula and peered through the slots. "Ah! Aha! Aha! I see. Right. Well, that rather changes things then. I see that we now have no choice. We will in fact have to make an emergency decision based on the parameters of the proximity of the aforementioned. What are you talking about? Said Sarah. Really? Do I have to spell it out to you? Yes, I think so, said Sarah, her arms folded crossly. Very well. The man pressed some shiny parts on the spatula and pointed it directly at the shadows. You know how when ice melts, it drips slowly away until eventually the ice cube has become something completely flat? Well, that's what happened here, except it happened in reverse. The shapes began to unmelt, become larger, taller, fatter. They were black, curved, shiny backs and spindly, eerie-looking legs and huge, multifaceted eyes with antennae above them. Bah! They're beetles! Yelped Sarah in shock. They're giant beetles! And more than that, the giant beetle people had huge silver guns with lights flashing up and down them. Yes, yes, now you see my point. Degree of urgency. If things run towards you, you run away. That's the general rule of thumb, I'd have said. But why are they here? Where are they from? They are here because of me, because of something they think I have. And unfortunately now they're here, along with the tent and the other small humans and the larger humans, and it's really terribly inconvenient. But what are we going to do? Do? Well, we're going to leave, of course. We're going to get into my mode of transportation and disappear. What? What transportation? This, said the man, pointing at the toilet. It's a toilet. It doesn't even have wheels. How on earth is it supposed to move? It's not a toilet. It's a time-organising, interdimensional, locally established transporter. Sarah thought for a moment. But those letters still spell the word toilet. It is not a toilet. It is a toilet, and appearances can be deceptive. I assure you, it's really not what it appears to be. Really? Yes, and now you need to get inside very quickly, otherwise I cannot guarantee your safety. I'm not getting in a toilet with you. Ew, that's gross. If you don't get in this toilet immediately, then you will have to have a conversation with the beetle people, and I assure you, they are not as friendly as I am. But what about the children? And what about the tents? And if we leave, they will leave. They're only interested in what they think I have. What do you have? Never mind, will you just get in the loo? Sarah found herself being shoved towards the toilet. The man got in behind her and shut the door. Seconds later, the beetle people had reached them and were banging loudly on the outside. Flush! What? Said Sarah. What are you... Flush! Said the man. Are you serious? I'd read... Flush! Yelled the man. Sarah reached down and pulled on the handle. But instead of all the swirly blue water and strange smells that you normally get, there was a strange sort of humming sound. It got louder and louder. And then suddenly, pop! And the whole thing stopped. Have they gone? Said Sarah. Did you destroy them or something? Oh, no, 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 nothing like that, said the man. Right, out we go then. What? Outside? You're kidding? But what about the beetle people? I'll prove it to you, said the man. He pulled back the bolt and pushed open the door. Sarah looked out. He was quite right. The beetle people had indeed gone. In fact, neither the field, nor the people, nor the tents, nor the children, in fact, nothing. Nothing was there at all that she had seen before. Where are we? What did you do? Said Sarah, stumbling out into this new space. Well, who are you? Ah, yes. I normally do this first, the introductions part, you know, social niceties and that sort of thing, but I kind of got a bit distracted by the beetle people. I'm sorry. Let me start again. My name is the Doctor. Dr. Wu. And I am a Time Lord.